is Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than testifying in front of Congress.
Yeah.
I'm your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I'm joined by Joe Curry.
Hello.
And Pip Helix.
Hi, everybody.
On the show, do we really love the Constitution or just certain parts of it? Referees walk off the field after football players kneel. A boy gets kicked out of the Cub Scouts for asking a congresswoman tough questions. And social media companies testify in front of Congress. But who's really at fault for the spread of misinformation? But first, we must talk about too soon or not too soon. Usually, that is in regards to comedians telling jokes.
Oh, yeah.
That's traditionally what it was when there's, like for some people doing a Holocaust joke, it's still too soon.
It's still too soon.
For some people doing a Lincoln assassination joke, still too soon.
Yeah.
For some people doing an Adam and Eve joke and the snake, still too soon.
No.
That's usually how it goes. But now...
Well, if you're an audience full of snakes...
Yeah, give me a good snake.
You played the rooms I've played.
Yeah.
but now it seems it's now into our political discourse.
Sure.
And it has been for a while, so I'm gonna go here for a while. We'll see how much I get through. So I came up with this topic. This was before the Texas church shooting, by the way.
Oh, okay.
When I decided I wanted to talk about this. This was in regards to the New York City terrorist attack, which Joe and I... were on the air for a few hours after it happened.
Yeah.
And the Las Vegas shooting.
Right.
Though that's what I had in mind. But then, as luck would have it, we had more horror.
Oh, lucky.
Yes. Yeah. So after the massacre in Vegas, where 500 were shot and 58 died, the president, the GOP, and their followers said, it's too soon to talk about gun control. Now, we've heard this before. We heard this 5 years ago with Newtown.
Yeah.
When that in the Connecticut where all those little children were killed. We heard now's not the time to talk about gun control.
Don't politicize it.
Exactly. That's mm-hmm. always the refrain. You know, the bodies are still warm. Okay. Of course, with gun massacres coming fast and furious, there's never really a good time because just when you might be ready to talk about it again, allegedly, another one happens.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how that kind of works. So now last week, a Muslim man runs over... 8 people and kills people in New York City. It turns out he did it for ISIS. What a sweetie.
Lovely.
But, you know, that's what it was. But immediately the president talks about tougher immigration policies.
Mm-hmm.
He had not addressed the nation. Actually, on the part of the show that's on the internet, Joe and I and Kevin Lee, who was in with us, actually gave a time frame from when we'd like the president to address the nation, comfort the nation, do the presidenting thing that left or right all the presidents do that we come to depend on.
Right.
One of the most important things a president can do, really, is console us, unite us. Didn't happen. So be it.
Yeah, you want country daddy to talk to you and
right.
And right. make you know things are going to be okay.
Remind us of the good. Remind us how strong we are. Didn't happen.
Yeah.
We had that conversation. Anyway, so he had not addressed the nation over this terror. Then he attacked Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, blaming him for a law that was passed in 1990. The problem was it was a bipartisan law that was signed into law by George Herbert Walker Bush. In 2013, Chuck Schumer was part of the Gang of Eight, and he offered to repeal the law. This is lottery immigration based, you know, immigration based on lottery. This is the law. Mm-hmm. 2013, they were trying to get some immigration reform, and Schumer was part of the group that said, you know what, we can repeal this. Maybe we should have something else. President Trump immediately went political and was inaccurate with his facts. So Trump mentions none of this, but goes straight for the political win. Predictably, his fans take the bait, and they begin the anti-Muslim rhetoric and immigration laws rhetoric. Again, the bodies are still warm.
Right.
So in this case, we've just had a tragedy. We've just lost people. People are mourning in our country, but we can talk about it. In Las Vegas, where more people were killed, we can't talk about it. Then we have the Texas shooting, unfortunately, that we just had again.
Right.
And again, you know, is it too soon? And then Kellyanne Conway comes out and says, don't politicize it. So, see, I'm left with a couple of conclusions.
Okay.
When it's okay to discuss resolutions to our ever-increasing tragedy, it depends on what type of political points you want to score.
Mm-hmm.
It really has nothing to do with the respect for the dead. We're really not that nation. We like to think we are.
Yeah, we like to think we are. We're not.
The problem is that we're the victim of our own circumstance. We're a product of sound bites, where we expect sound bites for things to happen, and like I'm saying, we will be more. Yeah, that would be a nice thing, but in the day of 24-hour news. I'm not talking about
the 24-hour news. I'm talking about the politicians that get up there and get in front of the nation and say, for their soundbite show, they tell us whether it's okay to talk or not to talk. That's what I'm talking about. They're the ones that are supposed to set the tone, and I've discovered it's really not about respect for the dead. It really has nothing to do with that.
When would you like them to, say something about it? What time frame? Here's
how I personally think about it. I think you can, and this is just me, and people might vary. I think you can talk right away because it is fresh. I don't think it's disrespectful. I think, you know, if we're talking about the terror attack, hey, how did these people, how did this guy get in here? How did he get radicalized? What can we do to make sure it doesn't happen again? Whether it's the Texas massacre or Vegas, I think immediately we can talk. Hey, what did we miss? What laws do we need? I think we can talk. I don't want them to write new laws right away.
Right.
I think time will get some of the emotion out of it. But I think you can certainly start the conversation right away so that – and because making a law takes a long time.
Yeah.
So you start the dialogue.
Or it should.
And when do you start the dialogue again?
Personally, for me, I don't have a problem with it right away.
But I
know that's different for everybody.
Well, yeah, because in my opinion, I wait till all the facts come in. Give it a couple of a day or so. You respect the dead.
That's fine.
And you just to get all the facts in. And the Vegas.
All I ask for, Joe, is consistency. That's what I'm saying is, like, a lot of the people.
Not a perfect world. You're not going to get it.
We don't get it at all. What I'm saying is the people that will go, it's too soon with the gun tragedy, immediately want to jump on the Muslim thing. Like, my point of that, listen, if you want to immediately jump on the Muslim thing, then immediately jump on the gun thing. Or if you're going to wait with the Muslim thing, wait for the gun thing. Be internally consistent. That's all I ask.
Well, you know, the different situations. I mean, first of all, with Las Vegas, who knows what happened there?
We know 500 people were shot.
I mean,
we know 58 people were shot
with a gun.
I'm not taking. I mean, what happened was awful on so many different measures. I mean, being in that crowd and having that gun. I mean, awful. But what drove this guy and what were the factors is haunting. Because,
well, here
are
the things that are in common, and this is. There's dead people. I was gonna say there's guns involved, but that's not true. This terrorist attack did not involve guns.
Right.
There's dead people. So my point, it boils down to this. If we're going to say, you know, respect the dead, and I'm fine with that. I'm fine with biting my tongue, as Joe says, you know, wait for the facts to come in. I'm totally cool with that. But let's everybody who says that do that every time. Let's have that common decency to wait for the facts to come in, because otherwise it just looks like politics, and I don't have stomach for that. I see right through that phoniness.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, one of the things that Joe points out, and I mean, I think it is a valid point, is that because we do have the 24-hour news cycle, they're hungry for some kind of, they have to fill the time, and so they're going to yap about something.
Let the pundits yap.
Yeah.
Let the pundits yap.
Mm-hmm.
Let the politicians be consistent.
Right.
God forbid the people on social media and the people that get paid to talk are actually consistent. God forbid we lived in that society. But how about our politicians? How about our president?
Slow your damn roll.
How about our president is consistent? Because,
yeah.
You know, Joe was making the point on the internet portion. He goes, well, you know, maybe President Trump, you know, you're going to laugh at this. Maybe he's waiting for all the facts to come in. And now we have a history of President Trump, and predictably I laughed, and Joe knew I would. But I knew what Joe was going for, and it's like, okay, well, maybe he's finally learned his lesson. We'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
You know, because each of the situations have their own reason why they happen. Well, like we said, Las Vegas, who knows? We're trying to sort that through. Obviously, the second situation with the truck was ISIS, and this other situation in Texas was due to the this guy had a vendetta against, I believe, his mother-in-law.
Here's my problem. Immediately Trump goes, we need to deal with the immigration laws. The immigration laws were not the issue with this. He would have gotten through everything, and he immediately politicized by blaming the Dems for something there wasn't wrong for. And then with this, initially Trump with Vegas, Trump goes, well, now's not the time. And then he goes, no, it's not the gun laws. So, like, in one hand, Trump is like is so sure we have to change laws. Mm-hmm. And the other time, the same type of time frame when we're still gathering facts as Joe would like us to have, and I'm not arguing with that approach, he's immediately jumping to conclusions. That's where I have my problem. Yeah. Be consistent. If you're going to fly off the handle, fly off the handle every time. I know what to expect. I can live with that. If you're going to be more disciplined like Joe would prefer, I'm cool with that too.
Yeah, yeah.
I think, and the problem is now because we see this from our leadership, you go on social media.
People
aren't, and that's where I have the problem.
I think in every situation, it's tough to be consistent because each situation is almost unique to each other.
Well, here's the thing: one's a brown man and one's a white guy.
I understand that, but basically, you had a guy with the guy in the truck, and you know what? I mean, he was legal here, but basically,
but Trump didn't know this when he started spouting off.
Yeah, but due to the fact that a lot of this is happening in Europe. And then they have relaxed immigration laws. It is something to think about.
I'm not saying we can't have the argue about immigration policies. I'm not saying there's more we can do. I'm saying be consistent about when we can talk about it.
Yeah.
We'll be back.
It's Wrecking Ball Radio. This is Davin's Den.
So many people say they love the Constitution. I don't think they do. I think they love parts, and they agree with it, and they agree with those parts depending on if it suits their needs.
It was just like some people love parts of you and not others.
You're like a big Constitution.
Well, I think
let me put my John Hancock on you.
Oh my!
That's not a gay.
you want to stand on that one?
That's gonna smart. Oh, yes.
And this is what the show would sound like if I didn't participate.
Joe and Pip take over.
Without Halloween, they're nothing.
Years ago.
Yes. Oh but yeah. Yes.
Okay. Anyway, so we'll start with the first. I'm going to go through a few amendments.
Okay.
This is the first amendment, known as the Freedom of Speech Amendment. People claim to love it. Until somebody says something they don't like.
Just evidenced on our show.
I allowed the free speech. It shall be left in. I'm not, whatever. The president feels he's being unfairly criticized by certain networks.
Mm-hmm.
His fans feel the same way. Every president feels like they're getting unfairly criticized.
Well,
and they are. And some,
they are.
So, depending on the network, every president is unfairly criticized. A lot of times it's justifiable.
Yeah.
But it kind of comes with the territory. You kind of know when you sign up for president, people are going to have opinions and they're not going to powder your touch.
Right.
You kind of know that's the gig.
It wouldn't all be nice.
Right. But many of his fans feel the same way. However, this is the first president that I'm aware of that has threatened to revoke broadcasting licenses.
Yeah.
Now, he doesn't have the power to do that. Because he's not really versed on rules and limitations. That's not really his thing. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have the power to do. But he did make the threat.
Right.
And some of his fans had no issue with that.
Wow.
Now, Obama routinely got criticized from Fox News and the right-leaning media. And I'm sure if you asked President Obama what he thought about it, he would have said it was unfair. But he didn't threaten to do that.
Right.
And if he had threatened to do that, I'm pretty sure, and justifiably so, people on the right would have complained.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I'll give you another example. The much talked about kneeling NFL players.
Mm-hmm.
Many do not think they should have the right to protest during the national anthem. The First Amendment gives them that right. It protects them from government persecution for this act. They have the right. The president has encouraged boycotting a private business, the NFL, because he does not approve of the players exercising their freedom of speech.
Well, in that respect, basically, they're doing it while they are representing the NFL.
And it's the NFL's decision.
And it's the NFL's decision.
If the NFL decided, you cannot do this, I wouldn't have a problem with it. They're working for the NFL.
Right.
I wouldn't have a problem if the NFL says, you know what? No, you're not doing it. For whatever the reason. Whatever their reason. But I do have a problem when the president tries to encourage a boycott of a private business for allowing free speech.
That is not a good look.
No, because again,
it's allowing disrespect to the country is what it is.
But free speech, free speech allows that. That's what I'm talking about. See, you're uncomfortable with this, so you're okay with it.
Right. But you know what? The president, let the president say what he wants to say.
I didn't say he couldn't say it.
Yeah, like those nice Nazis marching through the campus. There's some really nice people there. But those kneelers, they got to go.
And those lovely Antifa people.
All right. I don't want to get into that. That's not the point. But you kind of saw like a little taste of it. Joe was willing to forego that freedom of speech because he thought it was disrespectful. My point is not whether it's disrespectful or not disrespectful. You can have that argument forever if you want.
Yeah, you can.
My point is, they're protected by freedom of speech, and unless a private company wants to do something about the people they work for, the president should stay out of it, and people should make their own individual decision. If you tell me I don't want to watch the NFL while they're doing it, that's cool.
But you got to remember, he's the president of the United States, and he feels that he sees something disrespectful, and he doesn't like it, and he's just stating his opinion.
Well,
whether he can act on it or whatever.
He's threatening to, and I would argue there's more to it I would argue there's more there than just the president didn't like this. But that's a whole different conversation. I would make the argument that he had other motives for bringing this conversation up.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Well, 8 people were kneeling before he said anything, and then the whole league was doing it.
Yeah, but then the whole league is doing it, and then it's just... Well,
whatever, that's not the point.
Exactly.
Anyway,
right.
So anyway, the president frequently says things that are hurtful.
Yes.
Libelous, and proven untrue, and his followers are fine with it. So they like free speech, they just don't like it when the other side is doing it.
Yeah, it's okay coming out of him.
So a lot of people don't really like the First Amendment. They just like when it works for them, whereas I'm fine with the First Amendment either way.
Yeah.
The Second Amendment. Joe like this here. The Second Amendment. There's no question we are a country awash in guns. And when it comes to our first world nations, we are a leader in gun deaths. That can't be disputed.
Yeah.
However, we do have a Second Amendment. And that, as currently understood by the Supreme Court, means citizens have the right to bear arms.
Mm-hmm.
This is the law of the land. States can regulate this as they see fit. That's allowed too. The Supreme Court's ruled on that.
Right.
The federal government can regulate this. However, if you meet the qualifications, you do have the right to own a gun. This is the law of the land. Now, some on the left want to ban guns. You can't. We have a constitution. You can't, unless you're going to have a constitutional convention where you're going to get rid of the Second Amendment, you can't do it. You can't get rid of the amendments you don't like just because you don't like it.
No. I mean, you can't just throw them out. I mean, the thing that the Constitution is a breathing instrument, we do have amendments to it. And we also have the right to go and take those back out. Look at Prohibition. That was an amendment. Take it back out. But the thing is that you can't just do it willy-nilly.
Right. The 14th Amendment, the right to due process. We all saw the driver on the terror attack in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
We all saw the video. We all saw the pictures. The terrorist is actually speaking quite freely to the authorities. He's one of these braggadocious terrorists, which the authorities love, because they get a lot of information
from
him.
Oh, yeah, he won't shut up. Good.
Exactly.
Good for him, yeah.
He's the Carter Page of Islam.
Yeah.
It's like, do tell.
Write that down, Carter Page of Islam. However, the president chimes in and says our justice system is a joke and a laughingstock, and the terrorists should be shot. We have a process in place. It's been with us for over 200 years. It's worked very well. The process works very well. These guys, when they go into court, not the military tribunals, those actually don't work as well.
No.
And they take a lot longer. Actually, there's been more overturned with the military tribunals. Let the courts do their thing.
Well, that's why there is a balance between the different branches. The legislative branch cannot just dictate to the judicial branch.
And I immediately saw, after the president said this, and I get it, emotions are very high.
You get your frustrations out, you know? I mean,
if Joe Blow on Facebook wants to do that, I'm fine with it. I might bring up that why he's wrong. I'm fine with it. But when the president was sworn to uphold the Constitution, that's what he put his hand on the Bible to do. That's the oath he took to uphold the Constitution.
He also got there because he was speaking with the frustrations of the people that got him into office.
But that does not supersede the Constitution. And this is my point. I understand the frustrations. If you want to change things, you work within the parameters of the Constitution and the law of the lands, and there are ways to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a process, and it works. So immediately on social media, I saw people go, yeah, we should just shoot him. This, that, the other. No, no. First of all, the guy's talking. You're getting more information out of him. We we might be able to stop future terror attacks or find out how this guy got radicalized.
Right. Because
it seems like when he came here, he was fine, and he was living here fine for a bunch of years, and then something happened. So maybe we could learn. And really, we don't have too many Muslims getting radicalized in this country. Happens much more in Europe than it does here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's going on? Let's find out.
Let's find out. But immediately people want to throw out due process. No, you can't do that.
No. No, you can't just decide, oh, you know, with that criminal, that one gets shot. The other one gets a trial.
Postpone the election. We all know presidential elections are every 4 years.
Right.
This is regardless of whether the candidates are ready or not. A candidate might want to go, hold on, I'm not quite so good. Or he might want to have in 2 years, I'm feeling good. No, it's every 4 years. A poll said that over 50% of GOP supporters would be willing to postpone the 2020 election if Trump said it was necessary.
On what basis?
Could be anything. We haven't solved the illegal immigrant issue with voters, whatever. We're at war. You know, there's all different reasons.
Did they mention who they polled?
It was GOP supporters.
GOP.
So it was of Republicans. So I guess people who confirm themselves as Republicans. If President Trump said we need to postpone the 2020 election, would you be all right with that? And over 50% said yes. So we don't really love the Constitution and the laws of the land. We kind of like what works for us in the moment.
Whatever suits our agenda.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So that's my issue. Because, you know, I'm a person for consistency. Be consistent. If you're consistent mm-hmm. with who you are, now you can evolve.
Right.
But it can't be whiplash because, oh, it's my team. Oh, it's your team. Rooting for your team is not patriotic. Now, you know, being I'm a staunch Republican above anything else. I'm a patriot. I'm a staunch Democrat above anything else. I'm a patriot. No. America. These guys all swear allegiance to the Constitution. They work for us because of the Constitution. There are ways to change things, as Pip said. But until they change amendments or have laws, the Supreme Courts interpret things in a different way. These are the laws of the land, and you don't get to just get rid of things because it doesn't suit your needs. Because you know what? Next time it's going to be the other party in power, and you're not going to like it if they push too.
This is Davin's Den.
So, Ernie Leonardelli, the head linesman, said, and his son Anthony, a line judge, stood on the field with their hands on their hearts while the anthem was played prior to Monroe, New Jersey's home game against Colts Neck. And then both left the field immediately after the anthem because they saw four Monroe players taking a knee. They said, anybody that disrespects the flag in my eyes, it's not right, said Ernie Leonardelli, a veteran scholastic football official in his 18th season. What they're doing with this kneeling and everything, they have the right to do that, but the national anthem has nothing to do with them kneeling. The flag has got nothing to do with why they are protesting. If they want to protest, let them protest. But don't disrespect our country, the flag, and the armed forces. Ernie Leonardelli said two cadets, officials in training, who were assigned to work the chains, replaced him and his son as part of a five-man crew, and that Bear recruited two parents to work the chains. That's, I think, you know, first down.
Yeah, what does that mean, the chains?
They mark it off how many yards to go.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. Ernie Leonardelli said that about 75 minutes before kickoff, he and his son notified parties from both schools of their intention to walk off the field if any player took a knee during the anthem. Anthony Leonardelli said Monroe school officials told him they plan to file a complaint with New Jersey State Intergalactic Athletic Association. They are trying to get them to not give us any more games, basically saying we put the players' safety in danger. But we didn't, Anthony Leonardelli said. They obviously had enough officials to do the game. I'm not really worried about being sanctioned. If I don't ref again, it won't be the end of the world. I have no problems with people protesting and everything.
Right.
But I do have a problem with this particular type of protest. Because they didn't give enough notice. If they were, you know, 75 minutes before the game is not enough notice. If they called the day before, mm-hmm. 24 hours ago, listen, we're getting wins. Some players are going to kneel. I'm telling you right now, if that happens, we're going to walk off the field. I wouldn't have an issue with that because then the school or whoever's running these things could tell the officials, don't come. Or,
right.
Just in case, they could have backup officials so they don't have to recruit parents to work anything and have trained professional officials to work it. So my issue was that I do feel they were endangering the children.
I feel they should have walked off the field. I feel those kids should stand during the national anthem. I feel that the school should be reprimanded, not respecting the country. The national anthem is the one thing, every disagreement we have. We have a country where we have free speech. We have a chance to unite. We have a chance to be one. We have a chance to air our differences. That anthem is the one thing that brings us together. And for at least a minute and 2 minutes of that song, we can't sit and respect that.
Let me ask
it's
you a
disgraceful.
Question. How do you feel about the rule of law?
The rule of law?
Yes. Are you in favor of the rule of law?
I feel the rule of law, but however, I feel that you do have the option of doing that, but it's disrespectful, regardless of the rule
of
law.
Forget.
What you're doing is
law. I'm going to explain something to you.
And I'm going
to
explain something to you. Okay.
I'm going to tell you the law of the land.
And I'm going to tell you that it's disrespectful. It's disrespectful. And if you're teaching these kids not to respect the country. And if you teach people not to respect the country, when the country has to come together, it's going to divide the country, and it's going to be the end of this country.
With all due respect.
And you and your law, when you're taken over by a
foreign...
Not
my law.
Well, I'm telling you right now, you're going to watch the downgrade of society because you're watching it right now in real time.
First of all, it's not my law. The Supreme Court has ruled on this twice. Twice the Supreme Court has ruled on this issue, and students are allowed to protest. So you can feel whatever you want, you're entitled to, but if you respect the law of the land, like you say you do...
I respect the country.
Then you respect the laws.
But they're wrong.
You wrote it for
it's
the law and order, guy.
Disrespectful.
You're smarter than the Supreme Court.
But the thing is,
okay, counselor.
But I'm telling you right now,
it doesn't matter
about
feelings.
Disrespectful.
I understand what you're saying, but it's irrelevant.
But as a school that is teaching children to respect a country, it's they need to stand for that.
And
that
the Supreme Court ruled, and the Supreme Court's in charge of ruling on our Constitution. The Supreme Court, the Congress writes the law of the land, or in this case, our founding fathers wrote the law of the land. The Supreme Court's job is to interpret the law of the land, and they have interpreted twice that students are allowed to protest.
Do you agree that's disrespectful? Is it disrespectful, right or wrong?
Well, first of all, it doesn't matter.
Yes, it does matter to you. You're making the point. So you wrote up this thing. You're bringing it up. You're reading it. In your opinion, is it disrespectful or is it not disrespectful?
It's not the way I would choose to protest.
Okay.
It's not something personally I like, but since I am a strict free speech person and I understand that free speech means allowing things that I personally find repugnant, like Nazis marching in Charlottesville or KKK or whatever, even though I personally find it repugnant, and even though I'm not a fan of this, I understand that I love my country, I love the Constitution, so I have to allow it.
It's Wrecking Ball Radio. This is Davin's Den.
So earlier this month, not long after the Las Vegas shooting, 11-year-old Ames Mayfield posed tough questions to Colorado State Senator Vicky Marble. Specifically, he asked about her position on gun control and called attention to the problematic racial comments she'd made in the past. These were her comments. Shortly after Mayfield's Cub Scout, Den leader told the boy's mother that Ames was not welcome back because of his questions to the senator. The Den leader said the questions were too politically charged. That's what they told Esquire. Ames came to the event with Senator Marble prepared with questions based on research he'd done on bills that the senator worked on or supported. How many people you know doing that? He said, "I was shocked that you co-sponsored a bill to allow domestic violence offenders to continue to own a gun. Why on earth would you want somebody who beats their wife to have access to a gun?" On a side note, we kind of found out what happens with Texas, unfortunately. This guy was the guy in Texas was detained for a year in a brig by the Air Force because he assaulted his wife and stepchild. Anyway, I go on. And he wasn't supposed to have a gun. Anyway, Ames added that there is something wrong in our country where Republicans believe it's right to own a gun but privileged to health care. None of that makes sense to me. This is the 11-year-old talking. Ames said he chose to lead with gun control and specifically as it relates to domestic violence because he felt really important to talk about right now, and that is something that just didn't make any sense. Marble defended her stance, stating that she and her sons own guns and shoot. She didn't counter or mention domestic violence in her response or in her subsequent op-ed. She said that the shootings in Las Vegas and Aurora, Colorado occurred in gun-free zones and that more guns a society has, the less crime or murders are committed. In his questions, Ames did exactly what the scout assignment said. Mayfield's mother showed Esquire the assignment sheet, which stated that the scouts were to ask, prepare questions, and discuss Ames did just that, and his delivery, he embodied the values of Scout's Law. He was friendly, courteous, kind, and brave, not to mention informed by research. He said he was, quote, heartbroken and just really sad that he wouldn't be allowed back in his den, one of his best friends in his former pack. But the letters and messages he received the last week have made up for that. Ames remains loyal to the Scouts despite what's happened, and he's switched dens and it is a new den that is happy to have him. I don't think Ames did anything wrong.
I don't think he did either. Okay. I don't know.
You were a Scout?
Yeah, I don't know what the... I mean, if this was the questions to be prepared, he did a very good job. He did very good research. You know, I think that maybe the troop felt embarrassed that he answered such controversial questions, but that...
Well, when you hire a politician and you let the kids do it, you know, I'm research... No, I know you're not.
Right.
I'm saying for the... I'd be thrilled. You listen, maybe you go up to Marble afterwards, you go, oh, I'm sorry he put you on the spot. But I'd be thrilled. Hey, we always complain that today's kids aren't taking an interest. They're not civically minded. Here's a kid who did research, knows more about stuff than the average adult does.
Now, right. In the story, I read it. So in the story, did that troop give a reason why they let him go?
Because of the questions he asked.
His question was too politically charged.
Now, again, we've had a president who just talked in front of all the Boy Scouts and gave a political speech. We already covered that on the air.
Yeah.
But if you bring in a politician
to speak,
and you don't restrain what the kids can ask, it's no holds barred. And where are we in a country when a senator cannot answer an 11-year-old? When a senator is a snowflake and we have to have kid gloves on our senator because the 11-year-old was too harsh. What does that say about our elected officials?
Do you have no ability to back up your own ideas that 11-year-old can punch holes in your way that you legislate?
Wouldn't even address the issue.
Wouldn't talk to him about it. But it's ridiculous on the one hand that you have somebody that is such a flimsy excuse for a legislator, but on the second, and such a bad public speaker that she's like dancing around the topic. The 11-year-old nailed you? Really?
Well, she wasn't expecting it. I mean, you got to admit.
She needed talking points?
And I'm not defending her.
Come on.
I'm not defending her,
okay.
But I'm just saying she wasn't expecting
it. Well, maybe she should.
I am not defending her. Not defending her. I'm just saying you're not going to expect that.
The kid, to his credit, is exceptionally bright,
very well spoken, and very industrious. You know, he joined this other troop, this other den, and he also made the most money on a sale.
He was with the den that let him go.
Yeah.
He sold them for their fundraiser.
Yeah. So he's a very industrious kid. The den that let him go, they made a mistake.
I think this tarnishes the Scouts' reputation. I mean, if we're not trying to raise these type of people.
No, it didn't. It tarnished the den's reputation.
Okay.
Because the other, like no other troop would take him. Another den took him.
Well, let me ask you this. Should the higher-ups in the Boy Scouts get rid of this den leader? Should they go, you know what, we don't like that decision? The decision's already been done. Ames is gone. But you know what? We don't want you leading.
They could have them lead. I would reprimand them.
How do you reprimand somebody in this position if you don't remove them?
You call them into headquarters, you sit them down, you ball them out for 20 minutes, and then tell them you don't want to hear
you
this
You rip one of the little badges off?
Maybe, yes.
hand in your shorts.
Yeah, very bad PR on them.
Retraining.
This is Davin's Den.
The total number of users across platforms, social media platforms, including Google, Twitter, and Facebook, that may have seen content created by Russian operatives leading up to the election is now estimated to be more than $100 million. That's according to the lawyers for those companies.
Wow.
Facebook's general counsel, Colin Stretch, because when he tells you something, it's going to be a stretch. Great name for a lawyer.
I know, really. Should they make that up?
No, the ball's on him. Facebook's general counsel, Colin Stretch, explained in his opening statement that as many as 126 million Facebook users may have seen content that originated from the Russian operation. Much of that content was aimed at widening divides in American culture, touching on topics from LGBT, matters to race issues to immigration to gun rights. Twitter also revealed that the breadth of the Russian propaganda machine was greater than previously reported. Sean Edgett, Twitter's deputy general counsel, said in his opening statement that the company had uncovered 2,752 Russia-linked accounts and more than 36,000 automated bots. Those accounts tweeted 1.4 million times about the election last fall. Senator Amy Klobuchar, a Democrat from Minnesota, said that the commitment is enough. She's pushing legislation that would regulate political ads on social media, similar to how ads are regulated on television or radio. So, like, if you see a political ad that's paid for by such and such,
right,
so you know where it's coming from.
Hmm.
I was a little surprised at the reach.
The breadth of the all of the Russian ads coming at
yeah,
us.
It's...
I was surprised too. But I mean, one of the things that they said, I mean, not that those numbers were small, but also the amounts of retweets or, you know, reposts that they got.
Well,
too.
that, and I'm going to get to that in a second, but that's not their fault.
No.
I would feel better if Trump admitted that Russia was trying to influence Americans and would call them out on it. I would really be right behind our president if he would go, all right, not for nothing. I gave you guys the leeway. Turns out it's not a 400-pound guy in his bedroom in Jersey. Turns out it's you guys.
Yeah.
And cut it out. And we don't like it, and you're going to do what you're going to pay for. I'd feel a lot better about our president as opposed to, well, we don't know, and we just want to be friends, and it's all good. I would feel – now, you're a Trump guy. You've said this is all a hoax. There's nothing there. That's been your mantra, which the president appreciates. But at this point, would you feel better if the Trump called Russia on the carpet?
I think he has. I think he has.
I missed that. No.
Yeah.
No, he hasn't.
I believe he has. And there was the looting, you know. But it
where? The, well, no, I can't just let that slide.
Alluding to that, they did have it, but they didn't have the impact that they were saying. And
No. I'm sorry. I have to stop you. Almost everybody in the president's administration has. Everybody but the president has. Like, if you interview people from his administration, from his cabinet, they'll go, yeah, it was Russia. He hasn't yet. As the leader of the United States, democratically elected leader of the United States, I'd feel a little better if he called Putin on his crap. If he's going to be the tough guy and the leader, that would be a good time.
Maybe he's holding his cards close to his breast. He's got to meet with Putin sooner or later to go over, you know.
They're going to meet this next week.
Right. So, you know, maybe he's got a game plan. That's why he's putting his cards close to the vest. I'm just being a devil's advocate on this.
Okay, stretch. So you think the reason he won't is because he's holding his card.
There's an end game that he might have on that.
Okay. I like the idea of political ads on social media having the same guidelines that we get on radio, periodicals, and TV. I like that. I would like to know where these memes or whatever are coming from.
Yeah, I do too. I like to know the source.
Yeah.
Oh, we all agree on that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Social media, it needs to be regulated. It's like everything. You know, originally, industry wasn't regulated.
Right.
And then enough children were getting killed, enough people were getting maimed, and then the government comes in and goes, all right, you guys are not doing a great job of regulating yourselves. We're forced to do it.
We prefer babies with fingers.
Yeah. Yeah, we prefer you don't hire babies, which is what happened.
Child labor laws.
I think we're at that point now. Our social media companies could not regulate themselves. They were not forthcoming what was going on. They said nothing was going on. And then when they this was going on. You know what? I don't want to see the government all over the internet.
We went through this. I mean, this is like no surprise. I mean, when we were doing the research with the scammers, you know, with Julia Love and stuff like that, it was the same thing, that they're not, you know, they're not regulating it, they're not watching it, and when it was pointed out to them, they really didn't seem that concerned about it.
Well, yes, this show has been on top of it. This show has been on top of this issue way before the election and way before Congress. You know, we've made the papers calling Facebook out. You know, I called them out on the pedophilia that they were allowing. That made the New York Post and everything. But I think it's time. I mean, I'm not a huge regulation guy, probably more regulation than Joe would like. But I think at this point, you know what? You can't be trusted. We need to know where these ads are coming from. You know, more people are watching you than watching NBC, you know, where the commercials are coming or reading the advertisements in the New York Post.
But where does that kind of regulation stop? I mean, now we're kind of dealing with issues of net neutrality.
I was just thinking the same thing. Political ads.
Yeah, but when one person thinks it's political and another person thinks it's political are two different things.
Well, if it has to do with a candidate, it's political.
Yeah. Okay. So
let's start there.
But then, what's an ad? What's a person just talking about their opinion? Now, if I happen to talk about any,
here's the beautiful thing, though.
Person.
Social media knows exactly who's putting this stuff up. They know who's a person and who's a Russian troll. They know. They just didn't want to tell us before. So if it's coming from a Russian troll, you want to say this thing nasty about Donald Trump? Fine, but we're going to tell you where it came from.
Do they have enough people to regulate it? Because basically, the problem we were having, basically, all the
they are hiring more people. They are hiring more people, Facebook says.
Mm-hmm.
I've been all over this for years,
yeah,
that they don't hire enough
people.
Right,
they don't
and
have
that's
enough
what
people. I was alluding to, that they didn't have enough people.
Will
so
they will they hire
enough? Really have enough people to do it.
Will they hire enough people? Probably not. All right, I want to. But here's where I want to wrap this up. I'm going to put a little bow, my opinion on this.
Cute.
I don't blame Russia for this.
No.
I don't blame the social media companies for this.
Mm-mm.
As Pip pointed out, you know, who knew how many times it was shared and liked and retweeted? That's from us. That's the population. That's us wanting to believe the absolute worst of the other side. That's us being too lazy to research something and just assuming it's true.
Our critical thinking skills are gone.
Yes. That is society.
Yeah.
Because here's the deal. If we were better and go, you know what, that doesn't seem right. Let me check that out. Or that is really horrible. I don't know if I believe that. If we were a better society, Russia could bombard us with everything they got.
Well, you got to understand, it's like this whole thing with a better society. We're a good society. What it is that we're getting information coming at us, so much of it, at such a fast clip, that to sit there sometimes and disseminate it is almost impossible.
Then ignore it. If you don't have the time to research it, that's fine. I get that. Then ignore it. Don't share it. Don't like it. Don't assume it's true. Go, huh, that's interesting. Move on with your day. I get that. That's the most time-efficient thing to do.
Well, it's certainly more time-efficient than disseminating and arguing with strangers about it ad nauseum without even knowing what you're talking about.
That's a good point. That's a good point, Joe. They do spend a lot of time arguing. Spending all that time arguing, somebody could have done some research.
Somebody could have done something actually good.
Yeah. So I blame us. I blame us.
Yeah.
All right, Joe, where are you going to be?
I am going to be at Uncle Vinny's Comedy Club. I will be there on sorry about that. I'll be there November 12th.
It's always a surprise when Joe's working, apparently.
Yeah. November 12th, November 15th, and November 16th. Go to UncleVinny's.com, or you can call them 1-800-UNCLE-VIN.
No, Wednesday, November 29th, Joe and I will be in Lumberton, North Carolina at Adelio's. For tickets, call 910-671-4747. Thursday, November 30th through Saturday, December 2nd, we're going to be in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina at the Carolina Comedy Club. For tickets, call 843-839-2565. Remember, like us on Twitter, at Devin's Den. Follow us on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. Check out the whole unedited show. Lots of good stuff on there. Devin's Den. If you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us,
tell no one.
Either way, please keep on listening.